Can I have somebody help me with the communion? Paul told us to discern the body of Christ. And the way to do that is to actually look at this bread and see Jesus in this, his body, what his body went through, what he did for us. That's how you discern the body of Christ. Here's a really, I mean, sometimes you get in the wrong circle and they'll tell you to examine your heart and ask God to forgive you your sins before you take this. Otherwise, you'll take it unworthily and bring damnation to yourself. I promise you, you'll be on your knees asking God to forgive you of something he's already forgiven you of. And you'll be in so much condemnation till eventually you'll just give up and say, I'm never going to get there. If you're honest with yourself. Because in and of yourself, you ain't going to get there. Only through Christ. Only because of his shed blood are you worthy to take communion. And it's because of his shed blood that you are worthy and that you can do it without condemnation. Amen? Let's praise God. Now all we got to do is discern the body of Christ. What did his body do? Well, if you look at it, his bread has been pounded flat. He was beaten for us. Remember, we find types and shadows of Jesus in the Old Testament, and the recipe for this bread is in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. That's a type and shadow of Jesus. This bread has stripes in it, and it's by his stripes that we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. His body was pierced for us. He was wounded for us. This bread has been slightly burned. It means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. See, God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated so that he could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. And his body was broken for us, and we're taking this for our healing and our well-being. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that's ever been released on this earth. Ever. This is the only thing that could conquer sin. For thousands of years, people would take the blood of an animal and get a covering for their sin. But they could never have a clear conscience from that sin. They had to go back every year to do it again. But Jesus shed his blood one time and completely washed away your sins. Now you can stand in the presence of God as though nothing ever happened. Because he sees the sacrifice of his son when he looks at you. That's the good news of the gospel. Amen. Open your Bibles up to Genesis. I'll pray for us. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We praise you that the Holy Spirit is here to teach us and guide us and show us how to rightfully divide your word of truth. We thank you that you've given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we can look into your word, and the light of his word will hit our hearts and build faith in us so that we'll be able to operate in your kingdom the way you desire us to. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oftentimes when people don't know what to say, they'll say some of the dumbest things. You hear it at funerals, in important moments in life, and it's especially annoying when preachers say this. They won't know what else to say, so they'll say, well, God is sovereign. You know what they just did? They just blamed God for what happened. A tornado happens. And I say, well, God is sovereign. Yes, he is sovereign. Quit blaming him for the trouble. See, that's just a religious cop-out of not taking your place up in the kingdom and placing the blame over on God. But it sounds really religious, and it makes sense. Some people say, well, okay, God's sovereign. I don't know why he took my husband. God's sovereign. I don't know why my crop failed. God's sovereign. I don't know why this hurricane happened, but God's sovereign. Look at Genesis chapter, let me get all my glasses here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, God is sovereign. Make no mistake about that. And in his sovereignty, he gave you dominion over this earth. What happens down here is more up to us than it is up to him. Amen? He gave us this deal. Satan took it away from Adam. You know, he usurped it. But then Jesus came down here and took it away from Satan and gave it back to Adam. He gave it back to us. This is our deal down here. God put us here and said, take care of this thing. And honestly, think about some of these things. I wish the rest of the pastors in this world would think about some of this stuff. You got to give God more credit. He didn't come up with the idea of Obama. Hillary was certainly not his idea. Droughts, tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, all this stuff. That's not him. He's not in the killing, stealing, and destroying business. See, let's look at Genesis chapter 8. Verse 21. The Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Did you notice it didn't say cold and heat, summer and winter, and drought? It didn't say anything about drought. It didn't say anything about floods. It didn't say anything about anything like that. But that's the way it seems to be preached when a drought happens. And here's one of the most annoying things ever. You pay insurance, and you pay and pay and pay and pay, and a tornado hits your house, and the insurance guy comes out there and says, well, we don't cover acts of God. What do they do? They just blamed God for that tornado. Your husband got hit by lightning. We don't cover acts of God. Sorry. And the preachers back it up. You know, God is not to blame. What about the enemy? Doesn't he have a hand in this thing? Look at John chapter 10, verse 10. See, God has taken the blame for a lot of stuff for a long time. And Jesus got back down here on this earth. And he started explaining some stuff to people. And right here in verse 10, he said, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly. This drives a lot of religious folks crazy. But God did not take your baby because he needed another angel in heaven. God did not take your husband. He did not take your farm. He did not destroy your crop to teach you a lesson. He did not give you a sickness to teach you a lesson. He did not give you poverty to keep you humble. That's stealing, killing, and destroying. And Jesus clearly said that's the thief. Jesus came here that you could have life and have it more abundantly. He literally wants that life, that Zoe kind of life, overflowing in you. See, drought and sickness, poverty, that killing, stealing, and destroying business, that's part of the curse. And the Bible tells us that we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. The Bible also tells us that God is light, and in him there is no darkness. The curse is darkness. So I got to ask you something. If God's going to give you sickness, where is he going to get it from? He doesn't have sickness. God's not sick. If he's going to give you poverty, where is he going to get it from? He doesn't have poverty. There's no poverty in him. There's no darkness in him. This one verse right here would settle a lot of confusion if people would look at it with an open heart and not a traditional religious view. Just look at it for what Jesus said. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's where the trouble comes from. You know, sometimes people are their own worst enemies. I mean, they'll do things that cause things to happen to them. You know, sure, the devil, he's helping out, but sometimes people need to just stay away from things that cause themselves harm. Amen? But it's not God doing it to you to teach you a lesson when something happens. That just drives me crazy when people blame God for the things that happen. It's not his fault. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So now that we know where the problem comes from, what's our part? Become a farmer. See, the Bible tells us that with the fruit of our lips, our bellies will be satisfied. God talks a lot about our talk, what we say with our tongue. You know, we're sowers. We sow all the time. Some of us are doing our best to sow good seeds, and some of us are just sowing one bad, trashy seed right after another. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure of the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, thou shalt not borrow. One of my biggest pet peeves is when people just curse this land. Rapid fire. They say, well, this is a desert. You got to expect it to be dry. You got to expect droughts every once in a while. They say, well, it just doesn't rain in the desert. This isn't a desert to begin with. You want to see a desert? Go home, go to Wyoming where they have sand dunes. They have 100,000 acres of sand dunes. Literally. You run one cow to a section, and sometimes you feed her. This is not a desert. This is a high Sierra. There's grass all over here. Don't curse it with the words of your mouth by saying, well, this is a Chihuahuan desert. This is a high desert mountain country. Like that's more glamorous or something? Why would you say that? Well, that's what the map says. That's what the sign says. There's a sign out here. People will get mad at you over that. Mark chapter 4. Verse 14. And Jesus, again, was teaching us how this thing works, how this kingdom works. Right here, he says, the sower sows the word. That's us. We're the sowers. And we sow words with our mouth. We sow the word with our mouth. What word do we sow? You have a choice. And it's not a flip of the coin pick. God said, I give you this day life or death. Choose life this day. I like the way Glenn Smith put it. He had a peculiar way with words. He was preaching one time and he had a cup of sherbet. Two cups of sherbet. He took some horse manure, put some horse manure in one cup of sherbet. And he said, this day I put before you horse shit or sherbet. Which one do you want? Literally. Do you want good or bad? Do you want life or death? Do you want health and wholeness or sickness and poverty? Do you want the curse or do you want the blessing? You got the choice. It's your choice. Even right up to the point of going to heaven or hell, it's your choice. God doesn't send anybody to hell. But if by the words of their mouth they choose not to accept Jesus, he cannot give them entry into heaven. So by the words of their mouth and the decisions of their heart and their free will to choose what they wanted, they chose to go to hell. That sounds kind of blunt, but that is the truth. Amen? He gave us free will to choose. Choose this day of life. So how do we get along with this? What do we need to do? What do we need? Remember, whenever there's a problem, there's an answer. There's already been an answer made. Whenever there's a challenge, there's a solution. So one thing that's kind of on our mind a lot is rain these days. Amen? First thing you have to do is get control of your tongue. I have to stop calling this a desert. Stop saying, well, it's expected not to rain. Just stop. Start talking about the blessing of God. Start talking about the rain. You know, Psalms 23, verse 2. Look at that. We're going to look at it on purpose because we need to see it with our eyes. We need to say it with our mouth so we can get it in our heart so we can say it with our mouth again. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Talking about our Lord, the Good Shepherd. I don't say anything about that. He causes me to stand in sandstorms. No, he said he causes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. So this is something we're going to have to get in our mouth. Get it in our heart. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12. Now, you know, it doesn't have to be about rain. It could be, you know, if you need money, you can find prosperity scriptures in there. If you need health, you can find healing scriptures in there. If you need peace, you can find peace scriptures in there. Whatever it is you need, you can do the same thing and use the words of your mouth to cause this thing to happen. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12 says, the Lord shall open unto me his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto my land in his season, and to bless all the work of my hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and shall not borrow. Why can't you run around saying that? Amen? So know the Lord gives rain to me in my land in my season, and bless all the work of my hand. See, it's your choice. You can sow good seed or you can sow detrimental seed. But you're going to sow seed. You're going to sow seed. And you're going to sow it with the words of your mouth. Choose this day life. So how do we bring this about? The day you got born again, God gave you the perfect recipe for everything you're going to need. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Right there, he gave us the recipe. You believe in your heart, and then confess with your mouth. Somewhere along the way, somebody told you about Jesus, and you believed it in your heart, and you confessed it with your mouth. Everything else that you're going to get in life is going to be the same way. You'll find out about healing. You'll find out that by his stripes you were healed. So you'll study that scripture, and you'll look at it, and you'll meditate on it, and then it'll build up in your heart. You'll believe it in your heart, and then you'll confess it with your mouth. What did you just do? You found out what God said about your problem. You meditated on it enough. You read it enough. You seen it enough. So it came alive in your heart, and then you confessed it with your mouth, and you said, that's it. Healed. Amen. That's it. I've got rain. I've got green pasture. Amen? Believe the word in your heart and say it with your mouth. What we can conceive in our heart and give birth to with our mouth, we can have. Look at Mark chapter 11, verse 22. Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Have the God kind of faith. Well, what is the God kind of faith? See, God would not tell you to have the God kind of faith if he didn't make it readily available for you to have the God kind of faith. And it's not some super massive thing that just all of a sudden you got this super faith in your heart. And all of a sudden, you know, it's not some special thing that happens. You follow the direction. Remember, he's talking about the words of your mouth. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3 says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by God. There you go. By the word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Get a little more clarity. Go to Romans chapter 4, verse 17. And this will make this scripture pop out to you plain as day. Romans chapter 4. Verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, 23, 24 tells us that we can have what we say. Unfortunately, people are running around saying what they have. See the difference? They run around talking about this drought. They run around talking about how dry it is. They run around talking about how bad it is. They run around saying, you know, there'll be a cloud over here and they'll see the wind blow this through here, so it's just going to blow the rain out of here. There'll be a cloud come over, it'll be a little bit cool. Say, oh, it's not hot enough to rain. It's not going to rain. It's not going to do anything. You see what they're doing? They're using the words of their mouth to cause things to be even worse than what they already are. And Jesus said we could have what we say. See how important it is to watch what we say. Don't go around cursing the ground. Don't go around cursing your job. Don't go around cursing your family. Don't go around cursing anything. I'm not talking about cussing. Religious folks major on this. They go through life saying, man, you don't ever hear me say any cuss words whatsoever. But they run around cursing the ground 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They run around cursing their family. They say stupid things like, Junior is going to be just like his uncle. He's going to drink like a fish till he goes to jail. That boy is so dumb, I can't believe he sprung from my loins. Where did he come from? But I didn't cuss. I can shout hallelujah in church. I didn't cuss. Now you spend all your time cursing everything with the words of your mouth. You see how the devil gets people off center? Literally has a God kind of faith. So how are we going to put all this together? You know, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. God told Joshua to meditate on his word day and night. Remember, when there's a problem, there's an answer. So when that problem hits, and I said, when that problem hits, I didn't say if. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You know, just because you get slapped upside the head with a cheap shot doesn't mean you give up. Doesn't mean you're a failure. It doesn't mean that you failed. It doesn't mean that God is judging you. It doesn't mean that he's condemning you. It means that you got hit by a cheap shot. Now get your mouth in gear. You're going to anyway. Get your mouth in gear on the Word of God. So we find the answer to our problem. We meditate on that answer. Meditate on his word. Remember Romans chapter 10, verse 9-10 says we got to believe in our heart. That's what the meditation is for. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So we meditate on that word. We hear it. We hear ourselves saying it out loud. That's building faith in our heart. We believe it, we conceive it in our heart, and then we say it. We say it out of our mouth so our ears can hear it, and then believe all things you can receive. You can. Here's a kicker. Look at Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Mark chapter 9, verse 23 says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Say this out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. All things are possible to him that believeth. Say it again. All things are possible to him that believeth. How is Jesus saying that? All things are possible to him that believeth. It didn't say all things are possible to him that has enough money. That's what it said. All things are possible to him that's talented enough. All things are possible to him that comes out of the right family. All things are possible to him that has enough education. No, it says all things are possible to him that believeth. If you can believe it in your heart, if you can get it in your heart, conceive it in your heart and believe it and say it with your mouth, all things are possible. This is the coolest realm you'll ever walk in. It's the most fascinating thing you'll ever witness. You're calling things that aren't as though they are until they happen. Do we have an example of this in the Bible? His name is Abraham. His name used to be Abram, but God changed his name to Abraham, which means the father of many nations. So this goat herder without any children had to run around introducing himself to people he did business as the father of many nations. He had to tell his workers, you call me the father of many nations. Well, you know how people are. They're not a lot different than they were then. That old goat herder spent too much time in the sun and he fried himself this time. He ain't got one single kid to his name and he's calling himself the father of many nations. But he stood strong in faith. And he didn't waver on it. He kept his confession the same. And then Ishmael happens. God forgave him. And then Isaac happened. See, Abraham didn't do everything all right. Just because you make a mistake doesn't mean God's going to abandon you. Amen? Remember, the full wrath of God's fiery judgment was laid on Jesus. The punishment for all sins was laid on Jesus. He took it all. Go to John chapter 15 and we'll finish with this. John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That's a loaded scripture right there. But Jesus has given us the key here. He said, let my word abide in you. How does that happen? When we read the word, we get it in our heart, and we meditate on it. Let that sink in. Get it in there and let it build up. Then he said, you shall ask what you will. So he's there it is again. He's letting you operate in your own will. But he's showing us how to keep this thing checked by letting his word abide in you. Then you'll ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Amen? Well, praise God. Thank you for your word, Father. We praise you for everything that Jesus continually does for us every day in spite of ourselves. We thank you for the shed blood of Jesus that continually cleanses us from all sin. And the Holy Spirit that shows us and guides us and teaches us all along the way. We thank you, Father, for your word, which is a lamp unto our feet. And the angels that guard us and keep us, lest we dash our foot against the stone. Even when we make mistakes, we know that you're with us. And you'll cause us to triumph in the face of defeat. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have cake and cookies and coffee and fellowship back here.